Amen. All right. Good morning. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. We're going to be in Luke chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, you can join me there. If you're the old school, back of your bulletin type, looking for an outline, I apologize. My editor already let me have it. I didn't get it the deadline in time. And it's a little busy this week. I don't know about y'all, So you can actually go online and get a virtual copy of that if it's of interest to you. And so I want to talk about the new year, 2022. It's coming up, and I was thinking about it. You know, if the new year were a punctuation mark, then, you know, we'd consider it a period, right? So you come to the end of a year, period, then you start the next year. And then I started thinking, well, considering the last 2 years that we've had, maybe it's exclamation points instead of a period. And then somebody told me, they said, if you actually pronounce it correctly, 2022 is 2020. Chew, T-O-O. Get it? That's scary. But what I'm going to suggest this morning is that instead of a period, instead of an exclamation point at the end of this year, it's a comma. And not just any comma. It is the longest comma in the history of commas. The longest comma in the history of the world. And so I want to read the passage, and I'll prove it to you. I'll read the passage in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So, this is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is now 30 years old. He's gone into the wilderness where he was tempted, and he was baptized, and then went into the wilderness and was tempted. Then he's made a couple trips around Galilee and Judea, and his fame is growing. Miracles are taking place. People are talking about him. It's in his beginning of his popular phase of his ministry. And so he returns to his hometown. We read in the Christmas story, of course, that they were Mary and Joseph were from Nazareth. And so this is where he grew up, and he'd spent 30 years in Nazareth, and everyone in the town loved him. We read in Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. So he had a great reputation. He comes to his home synagogue, and Luke tells us he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day. As usual, and others, your version may say, as was his custom. Y'all, it's a great custom to go to church every week. And so anyway, that's what he does. It's Sunday, so he goes to church. Now, that's not really true. It was Saturday, and he went to the synagogue. But you know, you're following. You're tracking with me, right? Okay, so he goes to church, and someone before him gets up, and every time they have the synagogue, they read from the law, and they read from the prophets. So somebody stood up before him, and read from the law of Moses. We don't know what they read. And then to honor the visiting rabbi, they asked him, "Would you like to read from the prophets?" And Jesus said, "Sure, I would love to." And so Luke tells us that he went and found the scroll with this passage that he just read. So you have to understand, he doesn't have a Bible. It doesn't have page numbers and verse numbers and chapter numbers. These are all different scrolls. So there would have been a giant stack of scrolls that Jesus would have to search through to find this passage in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And so he chose this particular scripture on purpose. Now, I want to read that passage to you. We just read what Jesus said, but in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, this is what Isaiah wrote. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, comma, and the day of our God's vengeance. So Jesus left off an important phrase. The day of the Lord's favor and the year of vengeance of our God. But Jesus left off. He proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor. And then there's that comma, and you notice that's where he stopped. And that prophecy continues, and the day of vengeance of our God. But Jesus doesn't read that. The year of favor, not the year of vengeance. Now listen, I don't recommend you read the Bible the way Jesus did right there, where you just kind of leave off the stuff you don't want to say. But he's Jesus, he can do it. It's his book, he's the author. And so he has permission. But you see, Jesus is declaring that this is not the day of vengeance. Jesus' ministry ushered in this season of God's favor. He says, now it is the year of God's favor. John tells us the same thing in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So everyone there that day is at this synagogue is a lot more biblically literate than you and me. And so they knew immediately that Jesus had not quoted the verse correctly or that he had not quoted the verse fully. They knew what the passage was. They knew that he stopped at the comma and didn't go all the way to the end of the sentence. They knew that he left off that part about the day of vengeance. And the reason why he did, we're told in verse 20, back in Luke chapter 4. He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began by saying to them, today as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled. Jesus' message to those in the synagogue that day, Jesus' message to those here in this church today, Jesus' message to those watching online today is, God is for you. He sent me to set you free. Vengeance, judgment, it will come, but not today. It is still off somewhere in the future. Today is the day for life. Today is the day for new life. Jesus says, let me set you free. Paul uses that same word, favor. The Greek word is dektos. When he wrote to the Corinthian church, he said, for God says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. So Jesus ushers in the day of God's favor. By the time Paul's around, it's still the day of favor. And I'm suggesting we are living in the longest comma in history. It's been going now for 2,021 years. That's a long comma. And we don't know when it'll end. That's kind of the weird thing. I mean, people have been looking for the end since the beginning. And we don't know when it's coming, but the day of judgment will come, and it's got to be soon, right? I mean, look around us. Look at the world we're in. And yet, we think, well, it couldn't get worse. And then you look at history and people in history and the course of history and what they must have thought as they looked around and said, wow, Noah's age, that's a bad group. Sodom and Gomorrah, or the decadence of Rome, or the Inquisition, or the 30 Years' War, or the plague, or slavery, or two world wars, or the Holocaust, or Stalin's murder of the Jews, or Pol Pot's killing fields. In fact, this is how the Bible ends. He who testifies about these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Now, I'll be honest with you, that's one of those verses that I've always struggled in agreement with the scripture. It's not that I don't want Jesus to come back. It's just that I got a lot of fun stuff down here that I still want to do. And I got a grandbaby. Did you know that? Have I talked about him every week for the last month? And there, who knows, there may be more. I'm not pushing anybody. I'm just saying. I know how birds and bees work. And so I say, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus, just hold off a little bit." But the more I'm in this world, the more I look around this world, the more I'm in agreement. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Here's a story I'll tell you. It's a Bible story. It's kind of a Bible story. You'll catch it as I go. So the story is Jesus goes to heaven, right? So there was his death, burial, resurrection. He rises from the dead. He spends time with the disciples. He gives them the Great Commission. Then he ascends to heaven. And then upon his ascension, he walks into heaven. Gabriel meets him at the pearly gate and says, "Jesus, man, we missed you. Where you been 30 years, last 30 years? Jesus says, "Well, I've been busy. I've been on the earth. This is what I did. This was my ministry on the earth." And Gabriel says, "Man, that is great. You defeated Satan. You defeated death. You established your kingdom. Jesus, let me take the rest of the multitude of angels, and I'll go down to the earth, and I will proclaim to everyone what you've done." And Jesus replies, "No thanks, Gabe." Slaps him on the back, angel wing, you know, whatever. He says, "No thanks, Gabe. I've got it under control. I left my message with my followers." And Gabriel says, "Wow, you must have an army of followers." He's like, "There's 11. 11? Well, they must be awesome. They must be the most spiritual, powerful forces on the earth. They got to be tough, battle-hardened, spiritual warriors. Where are they?" "Well, they're hiding in Jerusalem." And Gabriel says, "What you talking about, Jesus?" But you see, that was before the Holy Spirit fell on his people. And when the church was born, those 11 chickens left the upper room and went into the streets and proclaimed the glories of God. And they became the church. And the year of God's favor continues through the church age. We're talking about God's unfolding plan of love for the world. And, you know, the way he decided to do it, maybe you and I wouldn't have done it that way, but that's his prerogative. One person at a time. I mean, he could ride it across the skies. He could line up the planets. I don't know. I'm not creative enough to figure out how he might do it. But he's done it this way.
Yes.
When you live in the favor of God, and you walk in the favor of God, and you share the favor of God, yes, with the world around you, yes, one by one by one. So our message as a church, Dr. Shelton shared with us in our offering time, what we're unified in is this message that God is for us. This is the message Jesus preached in Nazareth. There is still time. God is a good God. He is for you. He's not against you. He wants to free you from your sin. And we're just one of the local churches that make up the giant universal church of the Lord. But it's that message that God wants us to share with the world around us in 2021. This is the year of the Lord's favor. It is not yet the day of vengeance. That window will close some point. But until then, we live in the favor of God. And it's a favorable season. And it's like sowing and reaping. It comes at the right time. I'll tell you about an example I had of the favor of God this week. That just, you know, it shouldn't be surprising, but you know how God is. And so I was in Dallas, and I went to a critical care unit of a hospital. We have a family friend at Robeson in our church that passed away. And this was like the day before. No, that was this morning, the morning of. And so basically I went and prayed over him, and the families said goodbye. And so I was leaving, and that's not a real pick-me-up morning starter, right? And I was leaving, and I pull over to get some gas at the Exxon, and this man walks up to me and asks me for some change. And I said, well, of course, I don't know. I never have any money. Does anybody carry money anymore? I asked him if he took debit card, and he said no. So I said, well, hold on one second. Let me get my gas, and then I've got something for you. And in the back of my truck, in the back seat of my truck, I had two of those blessing bags that Esther makes, you know? I have since replenished them, but I gave them to him. And he said his name was Gregory, and I said, Gregory, do you know the Lord Jesus? And he says, oh, my goodness, yes. I've walked with him for years. And I said, well, that's good. I said, I just came from a hospital, and I was with someone who also knows the Lord Jesus, but he's not going to make it through the day. And so he's going to be with the Lord Jesus today. And you know what Gregory did? He said, can I pray for you? And he laid hands on me in the parking lot and prayed the most beautiful prayer. And I'm crying. I'm like, I thought I was blessing somebody. But he ended up blessing me. And by the time I left, he was sitting over there eating and having a good time with it too. So God is in favor of us. You remember the angels at the Christmas story? They shouted, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. He loves us. He favors us. But the favor is not always related to chronology. It's not only related to time. It's just that he loves people, that he favors you. Not as a group, but you, as an individual. That's why Jesus preaches the good news to the poor. That's why Jesus releases the captives. That's why he heals the blind, releases the oppressed. That's us. That's not a bunch of other folks out there that he came to do that for. It's us that he favors. And I believe that's what he wants to pour out on you in 2022. Have I been saying 2021 this whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So we're going to do the whole sermon over. All right, 2022 is coming. And God wants to pour out his favor on you. So down here, when you sneeze, what happens? There you go. We say, God bless you. Do you know where that started? Pope Gregory, during the Black Plague, the bubonic plague, encourage Christians to say a quick prayer over someone that sneezes to protect them from the plague. So essentially, you are praying for someone. And so my prayer for you this year is, God bless you. And here's just a few of the prayers that I'm praying over you. And I just want to, I want you to receive these from a pastor's heart to you. I'm praying that God will bless you in these ways and many more. First of all, I pray for favor in your work. Psalm 90, verse 17, let the favor of the Lord God be on us, establish for us the work of our hands, establish the work of our hands. I pray that your work this year is valuable. I pray that it's You're industrious. I pray that you're successful. I pray that it makes a difference in your life and that God's favor would rest upon you at work. I pray for God's protection over you. Psalm 5, verse 12. For you, Lord, bless the righteous one. You surround him with favor like a shield. I'm praying that God's favor surrounds you like a shield, that no harm can come to you or your home or your possessions or those that you love, whatever you care about, that God's favor would protect you. I pray for favor in your relationship with God. Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime. Weeping may stay overnight, but there is joy in the morning. You will have weeping in 2022, but I pray that it is always replaced by joy and God's favor in your life and your relationship with him. I pray for favor in your reputation. Psalm 84, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord grants favor and honor. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. And so I'm praying that as you live with integrity this year, God's favor would rest upon you and your reputation would grow. Your esteem in the eyes of other people, people would value you because of your reputation for integrity. I pray for favor in your strength, in your physical strength. Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will always lead you, satisfy you in a parched land, and strengthen your bones. You will be like a watered garden, like a spring whose water never runs dry. May the Lord grant you the physical strength you need to make it through this year and to do it well. I pray for favor in your purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I pray that this year you will be pure in heart and you will see him in a way that you've never seen him before. That promise would come to fruition in your life. And you have, every day would be one of those, oh, I get it, days. I pray for favor in your marriage. A man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I pray that your marriage, if you were married, is the healthiest it's ever been and the happiest and the most joy-filled you've ever been. I mean, even when you get to 29 years, right? And your Christmas present is a chore. My wife buys herself a microwave and I get to put it in. And so Merry Christmas to us. But we have fun. And she helped. She's good. I pray for favor in your humility. That as you grow in a reputation, you remain humble before the Lord. He mocks those who mock, but he gives grace. He gives favor to the humble. And may God grant you favor and open doors for you because of your meekness, because of your humility. I pray for favor in your finances for 2022. Matthew 6:31. So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So I pray this, you go into 2022, that your focus wouldn't be on earthly financial things, but it would be on the kingdom of God. And God promises to show you favor in all these other areas. And he'll take care of that. And then finally, I want to pray for you for favor in your relationships. Proverbs 3:3-4. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and then you will find favor and high regard with God and with people. I pray that you find favor and high regard with God and with people, and that your relationships with your neighbors and your relationship with your coworkers and your relationship with your family members and extended family would be watched over and enhanced by the Lord Jesus because of his favor on your life. And so I pray that 2022 truly be a year of God's favor in your life. And so I say with all sincerity, God bless you. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that you favor us. Thank you, Lord, that it is the year of your favor. It remains the season of your favor. We know that the day of vengeance will come, but it is not today. There is still time. And Lord, each one of us knows people. We have friends, we have relatives that have yet to walk in your favor. And there may be somebody here today in this auditorium or online that's watching that has yet to walk in God's favor. God wants to bless you. And all you have to do is say a simple prayer and just repeat it after me. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I repent of living my life my own way. And so I ask that the good news would come reality in my life, that you died to remove my sins, that you've come to set me free. You've come to release me, the captive. You've come to give me sight as a blind, spiritually blind person. You've come to set me free from my oppression. And Lord, that this is the time of your favor in my life. So Jesus, I make you my Lord. I make you my Savior. Come into my life, change me, and set me free. And Lord, I thank you that your promises, as Meredith reminded us this morning in worship, your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And so as we go into 2022, we have favor at work. We have favor under your hand of protection. We have favor in our relationship with you. We have favor in our reputation. We have favor in our strength. We have favor in our purity. We'll have favor in our marriage. We'll have favor in our finances. And we'll have favor in our relationships. We receive those promises, Lord, as yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So as we move forward into this new year, Lord, as we make room for you in this new year, I thank you, Lord, that we're living in a season of your favor, and it's not the day of vengeance yet. We'll just stay in that comma and proclaim your favor to the rest of the world. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. We'd love to pray with you. If you got anything that we can pray with you about, come up here to the altar. If you're online and you need to talk to somebody, call 940-222-2627. God bless y'all. Have a great new year.